Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by The CW. The two-hour premiere event of Superman and Lois airs Tuesday, February 23rd, or you can stream free next day on The CW app.
Wait, I never realized that they're both mononymous. Like, name another Lois.
Legendary character actress Lois Smith, YA novelist Lois Lowry. I mean, I guess I just proved your point.
You will drain it. Yeah, 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 they wanna know.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And how about those Buccaneers?
You had to Google who was playing to say that.
I thought the Patriots
Bobby was
won.
Like, wait, but Tom Brady, the Patriots won. And I was like, no, he doesn't play for them anymore. And Bobby's like, no, but Tom Brady, they're talking about Tom Brady. Like, no.
I didn't know.
The men change teams sometimes.
I did watch the men change teams. They sometimes change teams. We all
it
know
really
that men sometimes change teams.
How it's all about like the party and the snacks for me to that I yeah. just straight up did not watch it, like have no interest in it. Like did not even really care without the kind of accoutrement of the Super Bowl. This year was truly a wash.
Anytime I've ever regretted the Super Bowl, I was regretting the party. I was regretting the event I didn't go to, the people I didn't see. I've never once regretted like not knowing or knowing who the MVP
right.
was. You
but
know?
It was a great year to be off Super Bowl because nothing yeah. really was missed. It was not kind of one of those years that I don't think everybody will be talking about. Tom Brady won. Mm-hmm. The halftime show wasn't even... it was the weekend, so it was kind of like, okay, I guess, you know, felt very
it was weird
down
it wasn't
here.
It was fine. The halftime show was fine. He was fine. That I did watch that afterwards. It looked like an award. It was like a VMAs performance.
But aside from the growing momentum of like knowing his songs and being like, wow, The Weeknd has a lot of like hit songs, that's incredible, it is weird to me that the very family friendly NFL or whatever, chose an artist whose aesthetic generally, and you could ask anyone, is like cocaine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that yeah. is his vibe. He wore one costume the entire time and it's a like red blazer. Looks
it's
like,
his look.
It's like a Reno or Vegas craps dealer costume, mm-hmm. you know, with plastic surgery bandages. It just feels weird to me because he's, to me, seemingly like one of the worst family-friendly artists that you could get. Without choosing somebody who's swearing, literally swearing. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. The funniest tweet that I saw about this was like, yes, it's the Pepsi halftime show, but it was brought to you by Coke. Like, yeah, you yeah. know, like...
Right, like...
I don't remember who tweeted
he
that.
He literally plays a character that he is partially pulling from in Uncut Gems that is like a coked-up version of himself. He plays mm-hmm. himself.
Yo, someone passed the week in the mic.
Where the fuck's the black light?
What's going on back there?
No, I asked for black light. I'm not performing until there's fucking black light on this fucking stage.
Put on the black light!
I like The Weeknd, but I do feel like this is probably the whoiest solo with no guests halftime performer that we've ever experienced. And I was looking back mm-hmm. at all the other performers and I was like, yeah, I mean, everyone else who would maybe be someone who I would put at The Weeknd's level was a guest or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then they've had guests that are bigger than The Weeknd, which I thought was funny.
I mean, I find the whole thing weird. And I feel like at one point there's going to be like some long read about what led to The Weeknd doing Super Bowl 2021. Because right. it's really, right. I mean, it is really bizarre when you look at just last year, Shakira and J-Lo. How do you go from that, like two humongous stars, to one pretty big star?
What's funny is last year we were confused as why they were doing it together. That was the problem. It was two star-studded. These two mm-hmm. women are sharing the spotlight. How dare they? And it turned out to be amazing. It was perfect. Perfect halftime mm-hmm. show. Incredible. Great guests, etc. But this felt like the opposite, where there wasn't enough star power, and mm-hmm. he could have used the guests, I thought, even if it was like Rosalia, which he just released a remix of one of his songs, like something like that. I was just like, where is that star power?
But then you can't really bemoan them because you're like, I don't really want anyone to be there.
What it made me think about is who should do it and who would be great, who has the songs and the aesthetic and the excitement is Drake. And I don't know why it wasn't Drake, because I was thinking because they're both Canadian. Also, Drake's on a fucking State Farm ad. Why isn't he performing in the Super Bowl halftime show?
Hold on. Is that Drake?
That's right.
Drake from State Farm.
Like a good neighbor. Stand-ins don't have lines.
Oh, okay.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
He probably got more money for the State Farm ad.
He definitely did. I don't think they pay for the Super Bowl halftime show. I think that's free.
I mean, the best thing to come out of the weekend doing the Super Bowl was his, was the revelation about the Grammys. Was him being able to, like, take the Grammys to,
yeah,
to the table and say, like, you know what? You did this. You all are a scam.
True.
I'm going to do this, and I'm going to get more attention for it. And he did. And then because of it, the weekend, able, he is a them. We understand that. That's fine. But I did think it was funny. I had That's a feeling that fine. This would happen. And so I did some quick Googling. But I had a feeling that there would be a lot of Who is the Weeknd articles. There would be a lot of Who is the Weeknd articles anyway.
Yeah.
But what I didn't really expect was for all of those articles to be on sports publications. There was one on SB Nation. There was one on Sports Illustrated. There was one on Sporting News, which I never heard of, but I guess it counts. And then there was one on the CBS Sports website, which is like, who is this person? When he is arguably one of the biggest stars in the world at this point, musicians in the world.
Yeah, but I still think there's something kind of mysterious about him. He uses a moniker. I think mm-hmm. It's weird. He has this air of mystery, even though I agree with you. You know, when I saw him a million years ago at the Bowery Ballroom, he performed like backwards. He was so shy. Mm-hmm. And now he has like a great stage presence. He really is a good performer. But I also still think there's some sort of like kind of fog around him, which maybe he likes. And I think is actually really good for a performer.
I think
to
it's
have.
What he's going for. Yeah.
But it makes it for things like this. Although I feel like if there was any doubt as to who he was, the Super Bowl kind of took him to the next level. And maybe that's what he was mm-hmm. going for. It's like, oh, well, this is the biggest platform in the world. This is the biggest stage I could ever get on. So fuck the Grammys. And I'm taking my, you know, Super Bowl spot.
And he got a meme. He got a meme out of it. Good for him.
He got a lot of memes. He got a lot of memes.
But the one of him running around?
Yeah, with his face in the close-up or whatever.
His face in close-up running through the Hall of Mirrors or whatever.
I know. And it's funny because the end, when they break into blinding lights and they're all dancing on the field, you're like, this is mm-hmm. an undeniable hit. Like, this really is a
That was the best part, obviously.
To the Grammys, because you're like, this song is incredible and this kind of was all over the place this year. So how dare they kind of snub this if you care about the Grammys, which you shouldn't.
Which you shouldn't. And then you have a little screen grab of John Travolta dancing with his daughter. Another high point from the Super Bowl,
well,
John Travolta dancing with Ella.
Other than Rebel Wilson, who attended the Super Bowl and put out the weirdest content around it. I'm sorry. I'm so creeped out by her overall. The only other celebrity Super Bowl moments were in the ads. And those are always kind of the things that people talk about. You know, like Nick Jonas gets old in an ad for like Drexatril. And like John Travolta and his daughter Ella like do the grease dance in an ad for like Tostitos. You know, it's always the weirdest.
Drake from State Farm. Timothy Chalamet's Edward Scissorhands. Okay.
Okay.
I guess.
Yeah.
Sure. Thank
I mean,
you.
They're fun because they're on theme and it's really the night of the year where it's acceptable to be like, that Toyota ad was great. You know, like, when do you ever say that? Oh, like, ooh, what an amazing ad by like Clorox. Incredible. Thoughtful.
What an amazing ad. Ooh, there was a Reddit ad that was just a JPEG.
Like, oh, incredible. Amazing.
I liked when Lindsay goes, what about that new M. Night Shyamalan movie? And I was like, excuse me, because I was not watching the Super Bowl last night.
There was a trailer for an M. Night
Shyamalan. And she was like, you know, Gael García Bernal and Vicky Creeps getting old. And I was like, what are you talking about? And then you Google it, and it's literally Gael García Bernal and Vicky Creeps getting old on an island. And they get old. Liza Scanlon's there. She's getting old. They're all just getting old. At one point, you have to play the clip of Vicky Creeps of Phantom Thread fame for my threadheads out there. Vicky Creeps goes, you were 6 years old this morning.
He was 6 years old this morning.
You were 6 years old this morning.
So in case you missed the Super Bowl, that's what you missed. You missed the ads. Yeah. You missed an M. Night Shyamalan trailer for old. And you missed the weekend doing the halftime show.
Doing the halftime show. Let's move on to some who's. We don't have to talk much about this. I just like that it seems like the saga is officially over. Hilaria Baldwin.
I want you to notice how quickly people stopped talking about it.
Well, yeah. Yes. And I think people stopped talking about it and she wants more attention. So she released this. You know, I think she loved when people were talking about her, even though they weren't talking about
her. Nobody was talking about her before it. And then people were talking about her and then they stopped. And it's not like one of those things where, oh, thank God people stopped talking about this, because nobody was talking about her before. So she might miss some of the attention, even though it was negative.
She misses it. That's what I'm saying. She liked the attention, even though it was negative.
Yeah, I think you're right.
She liked it. And so she releases this creepy photo, obvious, like, honestly, that looks like a drone shot in a living room overhead of all of them lying on the floor.
How else are
they all of them,
to
by which I mean Hilaria, Alec, and then their 100 children all on this rug. And she writes
five kids.
I've spent the last month listening, reflecting, and asking myself how I can learn and grow. Same. My parents raised my brother and me with two cultures, American and Spanish, and I feel a true sense of belonging to both. The way I've spoken about myself and my deep connection to two cultures could have been better explained. I should have been more clear, and I'm sorry. I'm proud of the way I was raised, and I'm sorry. Also, really quickly, a quick interruption. You went to Spain sometimes. Like, you weren't there all the time
but
until
you
were
to,
older.
Don't, okay. You have to just take this face value, because it's it's one of those things where, now that I'm reading it, it's like no one's going to even remember what she did, because she actually did a good job at, like, the separation from the issue, you know, because this reads very face value as not problematic. What could she have done so wrong? Why can't yeah, she raise her kids
if you didn't know anything else
in two cultures, you know? Yeah, if you didn't know anything else, you'd be like, what's the problem, you know? But
cancel culture, people are being so mean to her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it almost feels, it's kind of,
yes,
yeah, I don't know, it definitely feels like a door closing.
It's smart in its way. It ends, being vulnerable and pushing ourselves to learn and grow is what we've built our community on. But it's over. We don't have to talk about her anymore.
We're moving on.
Who are we talking about now?
To the next topic. And it's like half sad, but also half kind of silly and stupid, which I think is kind of our wheelhouse. But we do have to acknowledge that it's a little sad. It's a little sad.
And I think Sophie would think it's like, would find the humor in this. Sophie would absolutely find the humor.
Oh, I think so too. I think so too. So I don't know if you've read or heard. You probably read, but maybe didn't click any further, which is fine. That Sophie, a musician who has worked with Charlie XCX, written a bunch of pop songs for so many people, all your faves, she died a week ago now. Was it a week, 2 weeks ago? A week ago.
It was like a week and a half ago.
She died in a really sad accident, and it's just been like reverberating through the music community, and everyone's kind of come out and just been like, this is just so sad. Sophie was such a wonderful collaborator and such a wonderful person. And it's been really sad to see, because I think Sophie was kind of behind the scenes a little bit, and that's mm-hmm. how she liked it, but had kind of a big coming out. She released It's All Right to Cry and an EP in which that she was on and used her own voice, which is interesting because she was always distorting her voice before then in her music. Mm-hmm. So that was huge, and it got a really great reception. It was incredible work. So it was like, wow, such like lost potential.
And she worked with like all of your faves. She worked with all of your faves.
You know what she wrote? She wrote Bitch, I'm Madonna. That's like one of her, she produced it. Bitch, I'm Madonna.
She also produced a song from the Who Weekly Canon, Vroom Vroom.
I know.
So, you know, why does Vroom Vroom sound like the way it does? Because of Sophie. Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride.
Let's ride. So anyways, people were really thinking about Charlie XCX, who is somebody who is close with Sophie, has produced a lot of Charlie's music, and people were thinking about her. Charlie's fans were thinking about Charlie. Like, oh, I hope that she's mm-hmm. okay, which is like really sweet and kind of like the best fan reaction you can have in terms of all of them, you know? That one's an actually nice one, I would say.
And Charlie's always been someone who's very open about, like, she acknowledges her collaborators. She's all about, like, the community of people who help her create her music. So totally. there was something specific about this.
Okay, so here's the part that's a little bit funny, where I guess her fans, Charlie's fans, the Angels, were tweeting hashtag here for Charlie, or they were saying, we're here for you, Charlie, we support you, we love you, da da da. Meanwhile, we have another Charlie in the game right now who's arguably more famous, but I would say is more of a flash in the pan than Charlie XCX, and it is Charlie D'Amelio, aka TikTok's number one kind of TikTok person. I wouldn't even call her a breakout of TikTok because she has yet to do something outside the platform that is relevant. Do you know what I mean? Even though she's famous within the platform.
She's also known in some circles as whole milk and three pumps of caramel swirl.
Right. Her big breakout was technically the Dunkin' Donuts like spawn. Yes. That was really her biggest moment in my life, which was that she had a Dunkin' Donuts drink that I drank a few times. So shout
cold
out to
brew,
the influence.
Whole milk, three pumps of caramel.
So people were tweeting here for Charlie. Charlie D'Amelio sees here for Charlie and tweets, this tweet is now deleted. Thank God. I am looking through the here for Charlie hashtag and oh my goodness, you are all so sweet to me. You have no idea how much your kind words warm my heart. I am so lucky to have you all by my side. I love you, Biebs. Heart, heart. And everybody was like, wrong Charlie. We're not, these are not for
this
you.
This isn't about you. This isn't about you,
for
Charlie.
You. It's absurd that she thought it was for her. She didn't do one Google, did not even click the hashtag, I bet. She would have seen why people were tweeting here for Charlie, right?
I mean, in that weird Twitter social language where it's like, people are tweeting at the singer Charlie XCX after whatever, whatever. Like, she would have seen the explanation in the trending list.
Right, right.
But she didn't do the work.
I actually did a little research on that to see when the here for Charlie hashtag kind of quote unquote started. And only one person used it before this past week. So I don't think it actually was big or relevant or anything before that. This really was a Charlie XCX thing. And then all of Charlie XCX's fans were like, go away to Charlie D'Amelio. And it was pretty funny, I have to say. It was funny.
It's also a funny intersection because, or lack of an intersection, because there really, I can't see there being much overlap between Charlie fans and Charlie XCX fans.
No.
And not only that, like, I can see there being active hostility between those two fandoms.
It
like,
really is.
Not just a lack of an overlap, but like, there's not like joy between those two groups of people.
Right. Right, like it wouldn't surprise me if like somebody who is a Charlie D'Amelio fan had never heard of Charlie XCX.
Exactly.
Which, you know, would not surprise me. And maybe the other way around, although I don't think so, because I think Charlie XCX fans are well-versed in culture,
tuned in.
Yeah.
And they've made their decisions, and they've picked their Charlie, and their Charlie is not D'Amelio, their Charlie is XCX, and they are here for Charlie
XCX. I mean, there's
XCX.
Only one good choice, and I've also made my choice. You can guess who it would be. So
we know which Charlie we've chosen.
This sad moment turned into kind of a weird internet flop moment for Charlie D'Amelio, which I have to say, I gave me a giggle.
And I do, and I really do think that, like, Sophie had a sense of humor, you know?
Yeah.
Sophie would have laughed at this.
Sophie's music had a sense of humor. Hey, cutie. Yeah? Yeah, there's something I want to say. I feel your hands on my body every time you think of me. Hey, cutie. Yeah? Even though you're so far away. I feel your hands on my body every time you think of me.
Moving on. Karrueche is single. I bring this up because I stan Karrueche.
Karrueche's single? Am I supposed to be like, Karrueche's single? Karrueche's single?
Karrueche Tran broke up with Victor Cruz. We talked about them, I think, when they got together like 3 years ago.
I forgot that you stan Karrueche.
Well, I stan Karrueche for reasons I can't really even explain at this point.
Because she made tacos on YouTube.
She made tacos this one time and I love it.
Yeah.
That's why. Well, the problem is I can't explain it. It's just an embarrassing explanation. But
yeah.
Karrueche is single. She, ever since we started talking about her, she's gone on to like become actually like a lot more famous than she was a few years ago.
But
like
still,
when she started dating Victor.
Sure, but not still that famous. But still not that
not
famous.
Not still that famous. But I think now she's a legit like TV star. Klaus is a hit and she is a star of it. But she dated this guy, Victor Cruz, and I forgot who he was, and he's a sport.
He's a sport guy, too.
He's a sport guy. He played for the Patriots. He retired, which I love. I love when football players are
you
like,
love
I don't want to do this to my brain anymore. Yeah, I love it.
Oh, okay. That's why you love it. Okay, got it.
He's like, I don't want to do this to my brain anymore. And now he's just a TV correspondent. So I was reading some story about him, and they were like, they referred to him as an E! News correspondent, and I was like, are they referring to Karrueche?
Well, to be fair, a lot of sports people do, like, TV announcing or commentary for sports places, but going to the E! Being an E! Correspondent really is, like, a shift.
Ooh, okay, so Victor, you're a chef now?
I wouldn't necessarily.
He is not, okay, whoa, let's be clear.
He's not
whenever
a chef.
Liliana puts both hands up, you know you got
to
stop.
Y'all, but, you know, like, this is what my mom taught me. When she's, like, ready to, like, come and be like, uh-uh, mija, that is not right. Victor just started cooking, like, last week. And I do think that the reason he's cooking is because of Carucci.
Wow, I'm getting just all my business is just out here now. It's out here. It is what it is.
You no, but
she's absolutely correct. I've been here with my daughter, and I've been, you know, fortunate just to spend more time with her, period. And with that, and obviously being in quarantine, you have to kind of fend for yourself a little bit, and you have to cook and make things happen. So I just been putting my best foot forward, and my girlfriend's been helping me, kind of giving me literally step-by-step tutorials on different meals. And last night I made shrimp tacos and ground turkey tacos.
I was like, he's an e-correspondent. Then I Googled it and quickly saw a video of him on Daily Pop yesterday teaching like the e-people how to hold a football. And it was like, now let's throw it over to our very own Victor Cruz. And I was like, holy shit.
Love that. Respect that.
So he's a TV personality. They broke up and I thought it was very sweet because I like when there's a breakup with zero animosity. Mm-hmm. I just think it's, I mean, yes, maybe it's breakups are bad because people did bad things, and it looks like here no one did a bad thing. And not only they're just not super famous, or the two of them, especially Carucci, but like it's just this easy conversation that they had with people. It says, an insider told the outlet E on Friday regarding the split, they will always wish the best for each other. That's it. Then the last thing I'll say is, because I mentioned the shrimp tacos, or Lindsay mentioned the tacos, this is the reason I love Carucci, but he said this in an interview, I'm buying different meats and fish, and she's literally on FaceTime walking me through things, and it comes out great. I'm an expert at turkey tacos. And I was like, I know that tacos are Carucci's specialty because in 2015, well, shrimp tacos are Carucci's specialty because in August 2015, she posted a video that said, coming soon, taco night at Carucci's, and it took us 4 months to get the actual taco night at Carucci's video.
You'll never let her forget that it took her 4 months to get the actual, to give us the Taco Tuesday's night.
To go from a teaser of Carucci making shrimp tacos with her friends to the actual full video. And it doesn't even mean that it took 4 months for her to have taco night. She had the footage. It took her 4 months to edit the footage into 2.5 minutes of taco night.
I love your tacos. Thanks.
Alright guys, thank you so much for watching Cooking with Kylie and Carucci. Check back, we might have some more.
Thanks!
Coming up.
I hope you like my taco.
I love that!
Also, this shady kicker, Tran famously dated Chris Brown before her relationship with the former Giant star. It's like, oh, she remembers and we remember too. So
yeah,
let's not remind us. Okay, moving on. This is interesting because basically we were talking about somebody who showed up again, but in a new way, which is Billy Piper, who we mentioned. Oh, did we mention on the Patreon?
On
here?
The Patreon.
Oh,
on
we were Patreon talking about only, Billy Piper briefly because Bobby watched the Billy Piper show that's on HBO Max.
I Hate Susie.
And you really liked
which
it.
Which is good.
She was doing press and she accidentally said that Kylie Minogue was engaged. And then Kylie Minogue had to like do major damage control to be like, we're not engaged. We're not engaged. Which is funny to me. But Billy Piper, like, definitely said, quote, my PR rang through my hospital to fill some blanks. I'd been carried out of the club by a man, apparently. A hero or a pest, I wondered. It's always hard to tell. Later, I'd found out his name is Paul, like my dad. He's Welsh, works for GQ, and will, in time, become a dear friend, a blinding success, and Kylie Minogue's fiancé. Hero, not pest. Kylie knows. So she's telling a very sweet story, actually, about when she was 18 and she collapsed in the club from her days of Diet Cokes and Marlboro Lights, and she got picked up and saved by this really sweet man, and it turns out he worked at GQ and became Kylie Minogue's fiance. Then Kylie Minogue had to come out and say, he's not my fucking fiance, we're not engaged. We're not engaged.
They've been together for a long time, though. They've been together for a while.
Yes.
But
yes.
They're not engaged.
They're not engaged.
The weird thing was this part here, because the Daily Mail said that Paul's stepmother, and again, he's the creative director at GQ, like, UK. He's had the same job for, like, 20 years. That's it. He's a magazine guy. And he looks just like you would think the creative director at GQ looks. So there you have it. That's what he looks like. But they talked to the stepmother, Gloria, and it says she was thrilled and excited. I think they were like, what do you think? Your
right.
stepson's engaged.
I think they
and
just
she was
went
like, oh,
directly
he is?
To her. And she was like, I didn't know that, because of course it's not true. So, oh, I didn't know that. Like, that's so great. That's so exciting.
So the first time you read it, it's like, oh, it's the stepmother. She's confirming it. But it really sounds like she didn't know. And they called her and she was like, oh, OK, that makes sense, I guess. Like, right. She knew about Kylie, it seems. Cool.
Right.
I guess I'm excited. I like
the
her.
Opposite of a confirmation that the woman was like, who? OK, whatever. Sure. Whatever. I don't think so. But you know what I mean? Like, she really didn't confirm it for them. That's really, then they just ran it.
My favorite thing that this leads to is, so when this happens on Google News, you were getting all of the stories. If you search like Kylie Minogue on Google News when this was happening, currently all the stories are about like how it's a correction, but whenever the correction was still sort of being corrected, it was just a mishmash of like, Kylie Minogue is engaged, Kylie Minogue is not engaged, Kylie Minogue says she's not engaged, Kylie Minogue is engaged. And then there's the one that's Kylie Minogue engaged, but engaged is in quotes, which is, I guess, a way to get around it, and that always cracks me up. Kylie Minogue engaged to Welsh boyfriend Paul Solomons, and when you click it, it has all the context of, like, she might not actually be engaged, but Billy Piper said she was engaged. She clarified with a tweet, hashtag lovers, we all love, but rumors are getting out of hand. Paul is, heart emoji, we are, smiling heart emoji, but not ring emoji. You are all clap emoji and we heart emoji you. Okay. She uses Echophone. Remember that app? Echophone?
Yeah, I used it on my Blackberry.
Isn't it funny that Kylie Minogue uses Echophone?
Yeah,
that I haven't
is
used
funny.
Echophone since 2011.
Paul is heart. We are heart face, but not ring. This reminds me of one of those like teen spread chain letters that's like happy hose giving or whatever, you know? She's not engaged. Fine.
She's not engaged.
Fine. I don't.
You know who is engaged? Fine. You know who is engaged? Do you know who is
seemingly,
engaged?
Seemingly. Seemingly. No, sorry. Seemingly engaged. They're seemingly engaged. Every headline has been saying they're seemingly engaged.
Seemingly engaged. That's a new one. Is that a new one or is that just one we haven't seen in a while?
Well, we've seemingly has been used a lot recently when stuff is not fully like Jojo Siwa is seemingly gay. Like that has happened.
Yeah.
Over the past few weeks, this new seemingly, it's basically allegedly without the tone, the defensive tone.
Right. So what we need is for the algorithm to serve Aaron Rodgers a shirt that says best Shailene Woodley's fiance ever. And then he can wear it on the Jimmy Fallon
exactly.
show. Okay.
Exactly.
We're not there quite yet.
Yeah.
We're not there quite yet. But Aaron Rodgers, while accepting MVP award for sport.
Yeah.
MVP. While accepting the 2021 MVP award for sport.
He wasn't Aaron playing Rodgers, in the Super Bowl, to be clear. Did you know that?
Right. That's what confused me.
Okay.
If he.
He got.
He's not.
He's on the Packers.
Well, then why did he win most valuable player? He obviously isn't that valuable if he wasn't a Super Bowl.
Okay. You know what? You make a good point. You make.
How valuable are you, Aaron Rodgers, with the D?
Okay, so Aaron Rodgers got MVP. He gave the weirdest speech of all time. Truly one of
the
weirdest speeches.
Speech.
Not to mention his head is floating like a CGI little head in the field.
Over a CGI field that has no people in it, which, again, I respect. So it's like...
Which, again, I fully support and love.
Sport people are like, I think, like, you got the sport people saying, Aaron Rodgers is engaged. He mentioned that he's engaged on... his MVP, because who else is watching him accept the award for MVP of the year award?
Right.
For
the sports people tweeted it first, and then the pop people were like, Shailene
we're
Woodley.
Like, hold on. He's what? And so
right.
we watched the video.
Honestly, it was kind of nice because the sports people and the pop people, there are some people who are both, but some of us had to work together to figure out what was going on here, you know?
There are some people who are both.
There are people who are both. I know. I understand. Uh-huh. And
I don't want to.
If you are both,
erase
I respect
who are both.
You because you keep a lot in your brain, you know. And I barely can keep what I'm eating for lunch in my brain, let alone who Shailene Woodley is, you know.
So he says thank you to all these people, and he's thanking all these people on and off the field. So he thanks the people on the field, his team, you know.
Who else is on the
Packers?
Field?
And then he's thanking people off the field, and it's like Ben and Joey and. Kelly and
Jody Foster
Greg and something, and then he goes and Jody Foster full name, and you're like what? And in my mind I was like lol, he thanked Jody Foster, the actress / director, that's probably you know, the name of his physical therapist, right?
No.
Like he's not definitely thanking Jody Foster. Then I realized Jody Foster is the co-star of Shailene Woodley in the Mauritanian,
the Mandalorian, what's it called,
the Mauritanian,
the Mandalorian,
the man The Mauritanian.
The Mauritanian.
I know how to say it. Now you fucked me up. The Mauritanian.
The Mauritanian. Okay. So yeah. So Jodie Foster is the co-star of Shailene Woodley in The Mauritanian.
And so he's literally thanking Jodie Foster. And then at the end, he's like, oh, and I thank my fiance. My fiance. He doesn't name my fiance Shailene Woodley, star of Big Little Lies and The Spectacular Now.
But we know it's Shailene Woodley because last week, E! News called them low-key. Not so low-key now.
We know that they're together because E! News called them low-key last week. Okay. And then at the end of the story, he says this. I took a screen grab of this part of this video because this proves it. This proves it.
Off the field, I got a great group of people that support me. So I'd like to thank my team. Off the field, Ryan, Tommy, Lennon, Rebecca, Adam, Oliver, and Emil, Debbie, Jodie Foster, Chas, Ed B, The Dungeon, Papa, Andy and Sue, Dr. E, the Pygmalia crew, Dave and Todd, Torpedo, Joey, AJ, Pat, and all the boys there, my fiance. They only gave me a minute to do this, so I just need to wrap this up real quick. There's so many more people that I'm thankful for, but just encourage people to read books, to meditate, speak things to life, manifest the desires of your heart, question everything, and spread love and positivity. Thank you so much. Peace.
If there's anything I know about Shailene Woodley, is that she reads, she manifests, she meditates, and she eats clay. So he didn't say he eats clay now, but he basically said it. He basically said it.
I mean, that's how you say it without saying it.
He
that's
said
how
it without say saying it. He said it without saying it.
He probably eats clay.
Definitely.
So they're together. I mean, they're engaged.
Clay. That's exciting. Never forget dated Olivia Munn. He dated Danica McPatrick. And the last person she dated was some guy she met in Fiji. I swear to God. I swear to
just
God.
Just like a guy who lives there?
Yeah, just a guy. Remember, he was like a rugby guy.
Oh,
like a really hot rugby guy. She was dating him for a second. And like, I don't know why anyone cared, but this people care. These are two, I would say, relatively boring people together. I feel like they'll have a nice, long, boring love. Boring to us, sorry. Although I guess this segment wasn't as boring as I thought.
My dad told me I'm not welcome home for Thanksgiving this year. That's not a part of my job.
Get out.
What?
You want turkey and pumpkin pie with mom and dad and Uncle Joe? Go on, get out. Go home. You can't win a case if you don't believe your own.
I'm not trying to leave.
Stop wasting my time. Get out.
Okay, speaking of relationships that shook us, last night,
disgusting.
During the Super Bowl, Us Weekly tried to tweet this and thought that I wouldn't notice that Maude's son is dating Avril Lavigne. These two. Maude's son, who's dated literally almost every person who I've seen in Us Weekly, like, just truly has a track record that it's like people you've never heard. You know, it's like Tana from YouTube.
Bella Thorne.
Remember, they were dating for a long time. And
those
then,
are the only two exes I can name, actually, Tana and Bella Thorne.
Well, he was spotted with, maybe I could find it in one Google. Demi Lovato. Thank you. He was spotted in the car with Demi Lovato, who I believe are friends. But I was like, no, for a minute. But apparently he moved on from Demi Lovato or just got involved with Avril Lavigne. They have a song together called Flames, which if you heard it, you'd be like,
set me on fire.
But she, set me on but fire. You could argue that she finally did find her actual skater boy because of all the people that she has dated. Well, actually, what about the guy from Sum 41? He was a skater boy.
Was a fake skater boy? I think he looked like a skater boy. I don't think he actually was a skater boy.
How are you going to make that accusation?
I think he had a skater boy aesthetic.
How are you going to make that
because
accusation?
Because I feel like that was a whole issue. Like, was he actually a skater boy? I don't think so.
Well, I think Maude's son is actually a skater.
Yeah.
So she finally got her skater boy, and it is Maude's son.
I stand by for you like the sun burns in the sky.
He's 36, he's 33. Love that.
Love that. Love that. And I hate this. His tattoo is disgusting.
He already got her name tattooed on the back of his neck.
And the A Avril, the A is an anarchy A.
I think the A might have already been there. That's my guess. And he just wrote
so
Avril.
So he got Vril?
Yeah, he got Vril next got Vril? To it. He just put Vril oh, next no. to the A.
At some point, like, grow up. I don't know. Like, you don't get to date Avril Lavigne and talk about anarchy, you know? Like, absolutely not. Like, Avril Lavigne, there's no part of Avril Lavigne that represents anarchy. Nothing.
I know, it's
absolutely
true. Like,
nothing.
If anything, like, the true heads do know that actually dating Avril Lavigne kind of goes against this claim that you mm-hmm. are anarchy, you know, because she really is the opposite of anarchy. Sorry.
You don't get to be, like, rich and going out in Beverly Hills and be like, yes, anarchy, I'm dating Avril Lavigne. Like, no, none of it goes together.
You know what Avril's song is underrated? She had one, like, kind of
with
comeback-y
you? It's a damn
song.
Cold night?
Trying no, to no, get no. I'm not talking about the stuff that everybody liked. We all liked those songs. But she had a later song in her career that I think was ignored called Rock and Roll. Terrible name. But it's kind of a good song.
I liked that song.
Yeah,
I liked that song. Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't... Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I gotta take them off. The tour's over. Gotta prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I took French for 6 years of my of my life throughout high school and college. And guess what? I'm still not fluent. I want to go to Paris and talk to someone in French, in France, en français, and not have them switch to English.
I was just in a Spanish-speaking country, and man, some of my friends, their language skills, they blew me out of the water. I was just out of my depth, and I said, you know, I really would love to be able to speak as well as these people abroad. What a delightful skill to have to be able to do so. So maybe I need to get into my Rosetta Stone era.
They're the most trusted language learning program, and you can use it on a desktop or as an app. They've been trusted for 30 years with millions of users, and they offer 25 languages. They got Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and more. They immerse you. They don't do English translation, so you really learn to speak. You listen, you think in the language. It's very intuitive. You pick a language, you start with words, then you move on to phrases, then sentences. It's designed for long-term retention. And their app has a built-in true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. They're convenient. Like I said, they have a desktop and an app option. And you can have a lifetime membership, which includes all 25 languages for all the trips you're going to take, all the language needs that you have in your life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. It's a steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Who Weekly listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/who. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/who today. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I used pretty litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Suzanne Summers has come up recently.
I know.
Did we call her a who or a them? I forgot. I think we called her a who.
I think we called her a who. This might have been on the Patreon. Now they're starting to bleed together. You better subscribe to the Patreon so you know what we're talking about, because I don't know what we're talking about ever.
So Suzanne Summers, vintage, perhaps arguably a them, definitely was in her heyday.
She does these live Facebook live like shows about her jewelry or something. Her like
regularly
jewelry line.
About and makeup line, like lifestyle stuff. And she does them regularly.
Yeah, it's a thing. It's called live shopping, which I think has become kind of a trend online. You can Google it. It's interesting. It's kind of like QVC, but anyone can do it. It's kind of interesting.
Yes. And she's been a celebrity who loves selling shit.
Probably
at this point, the majority of her career. She's like been doing that more than she's acted.
I would argue that she loves to sell the shit more than she loves to even make or even represent shit. Like she loves the act of selling shit more than she gives a shit whether you buy her poncho, you know?
Yeah.
Or what or how to wear a poncho or whatever.
She should be a real estate agent. You know, like you show up to something with her, like you've bought a house in 2 seconds. You've been pressured to buy a house in 2 seconds. She's
so
good at selling stuff.
What happened here?
So she's doing this show in her house in Palm Springs, and her husband is there and is behind the camera because you can hear his voice. As she's selling her shit, she's like showing off this makeup or something. Just, you can play the clip. But this guy enters the home and she hears a noise and her husband is like, oh, it's nothing. It's a frog. She's like, no, I hear someone.
Is somebody here?
Just the frog.
I just heard a person.
Really?
Huh?
Over here.
Oh, you're here?
I am here.
Oh, come here.
Hi. I'm sorry. I was slightly terrified over there for a second.
Why were you terrified?
I'm not even sure. There were goats following me and...
Who are you?
I am Aaron Carpenter. I don't know, have you heard of me?
No. How did you get here?
How? A friend led me up this hill, and then I came down.
Oh.
And
okay, you shouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is our house.
But anyway, you don't scare me.
I've seen pictures of this house before.
Yeah, you shouldn't be here.
Oh, I'm not a scary person whatsoever.
I know, I'm not used to people being on our property.
I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was a property.
Yeah, and we're doing a show right now.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Okay, all right. So can you go
home? I do a show every day, all day long.
Do you know what to do? Go down the hill. Just keep walking down the hill.
Okay.
Alan, could you show him the door?
She turns and looks off camera, and she starts talking to this person. I think he said his name is Alex Carpenter. People are like, it's the video star. It's like, no, it's not. It's the YouTuber. It's not. It's just it's a random guy. I think he's probably some sort of criminal.
Or he could just be somebody who... needs help, is lost, maybe
needs
somebody
help.
Who is, you know, mentally ill, maybe got in the wrong place, wrong time. I mean,
she's being
the problem
sensitive
is it's not defined.
This.
It's like, it's not clear that he's trying to break into our house. And the way that he responds is kind of like, I'm just here, which is like, he must be confused too, maybe.
But he also is like clearly a fan of hers. Like he knew this was Suzanne Summers' house.
Really?
Like that's weird. Yeah, he's like, oh yeah, I know. Like my friend, I know all about this house. I've seen this house and I've watched your stuff. Like he says weird stuff and like, but she keeps her cool in a way that's extremely admirable. And
no,
and
that's
like,
what the thing is. It's not like,
that's
oh,
what the story is.
The story is not like, oh, somebody broke into Suzanne Summers' house. Who cares? The what's interesting is that she was live on air and like diffused the situation. Like she literally is Jodie Foster in a movie that I know Jodie Foster plays a hostage coordinator in. Hasn't she played one? She's got to have played one. Who's the most iconic hostage coordinator in film?
Are you confusing Halle Berry as the 911 operator?
I'm just saying, like, who is... I'm confusing everything, but who is... For a while, every movie had a hostage coordinator who would be like, okay, we're going to give you a suitcase full of, birds. If you just let them go, we'll give you $1 million. We'll give you a whipped cream sundae, and we'll just let them go. You know what I mean? Like, they would be like, what do you want? That was in every movie.
I am just going to go ahead... She is sort of a hostage negotiator in Inside Man, but she's not, but she is. She kind of is. She's sort of like...
Who is the most iconic hostage negotiator in film that we can
think of? Connie Britton. Well, she's a 911 operator, so never mind.
No, not Connie Britton. In like 90s films when there was like a million of them.
Kevin Spacey, unfortunately. Like, who was the negotiator in The Negotiator? Was it Kevin Spacey or Samuel L. Jackson?
Who was the negotiator in The Negotiator? Yeah, whatever.
Samuel L. Jackson. Okay. The negotiator in The Negotiator is Samuel L. Jackson. Kevin Spacey is also a negotiator, but I think he's the bad guy negotiator. I haven't seen The Negotiator, but you know.
But let me give you some advice. Never say no to a hostage taker. It's in the manual. Now, are you going to tell me no again?
No, I'm not.
No, wrong answer. Eliminate no vocabulary, Farley. Never use no, don't, won't, or can't, all right? It eliminates options. The only option that leaves is to shoot someone. Understand?
Yes,
good. See, yes is good.
She keeps her cool, and she tells this person, who are you? Are you lost? How did you get in here? And then she's like, who are you? Was, I think, the third question she asks. But she's nice to him. Like, I don't know if it's like a celebrity thing, but there's like a familiarity to the experience.
She's diffusing. Like, she's like very actively diffusing the situation in a way that I have not seen since.
So Suzanne Somers is doing her best Jodie Foster, and she diffuses the situation so elegantly. It's like... It's thrilling to watch, and it's also incredibly scary because you get the sense that she's like dealt with kind of creepy people before. Like,
are you obsessed with her? Of course she has. Of course she has. She's definitely dealt with creepy people.
Number one, a stalker type person wouldn't come into my house. But if they did, I would be scared to death and scream and throw a fit. But like, so just watching it, it's like very...
Well, because she knows she's
inspiring.
Also on camera.
She's so good at it.
I think she also knows she's live on TV. It is like a little bit of a performance, too.
Which makes it...
It's even
Which adds
crazier.
Pressure. But also, like, I'm not sure if that makes her more at ease or less at ease. Because it's like, oh my God. Because I would be thinking, oh my God, I'm about to get killed on camera.
Yeah, she does like, an amazing
I don't
job.
Even know. And every once in a while, she'll look at the camera.
She
make eye contact and make like a face like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
She's
and her husband
as
is like,
good.
Okay.
She's as good as Denzel Washington as Detective Keith Frazier in the in Inside Man, 2006 is
Inside Man,
directed by Spike Lee. That's how good she is.
In which Jodie Foster does a little negotiating. I'm not
sure
if she's a negotiator.
Okay, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
But she does negotiate.
Yes.
I think that's what you were thinking of.
Yes. She is a power broker who becomes involved at the request of the bank's founder.
She's calm.
Who is played by
Christopher Plummer.
Christopher Plummer.
Who's a Nazi.
He just died. It was my point. It's very sad.
The funny connection between that and The Sound of Music is that in The Sound of Music, he's like very anti-Nazi. And in Inside Man, he became rich because of the Nazis.
Right. Okay, got it. You had to explain that because I think people think you just called him a Nazi, but you didn't.
Oh, no. And that's what he's trying to cover up. And that's what Jodie Foster susses out from him. But what Jodie does in that movie, the character is all about like being put in moments of peril and staying calm, cool, collected throughout.
Right.
Icy.
So now you understand my reference. It was roundabout, but we did get there.
Totally. We got there, we understand it.
Hello?
Who's this?
Let's not get into any names.
What matters is what I can offer you.
What's that?
Well, if I can be assured that certain interests are protected, I might be able to help you get what you came for.
I doubt that. Tell me about these interests that you're trying to protect.
Why don't you let me worry about that? Now, what is it you were hoping to get out of all this?
Rich, of course.
Of course.
This is crazy. You found this. In Life and Style, her crib is Crib of the Week. Maybe she should keep her crib out of Life and Style.
I just happened to be reading all the tabloids on Saturday afternoon. I was just sitting on the couch flipping through all of them. And there was Suzanne Summers on the crib sheet. 8.5 million house, 7 bedrooms, 10 bathrooms, 7,200 square feet. And it's the crib of the week.
Notice, it's not like I know a ton about Suzanne Summers, but I think what everyone really knows is she is iconic for having an estate in Palm Springs. Like, she is a she's like a star of Palm Springs.
And it's in a mountain, so it's like the iconic thing about it that they call out. It's like, and she, and even in the video, she's like, do you know how to get out of here? Because it's kind of a maze. It's,
you have
up
to take
high,
a
it's
lift.
It's precarious.
You just take a lift?
And so, well, you can. I think you don't need to, but there's like a weird elevator that takes you from the base up to the front door. And I think you can climb steps, but like, oh, but it also has this luxury where they have a lift for it.
So whoever
like
a, got in there had to really go through a lot of weird.
Yes.
It's not like this easy.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
And so that's, I think this sort of helped. I was able to visualize what happened whenever this showed up in my life and style, because I was like, oh, wow, this is sort of like the middle of nowhere. And it's very rocky and hilly and strange and like hidden in a way. Like, you have to be looking for this house to find this house is right. What it seems like.
Wait, she's selling it. She's selling it. That's so sad.
She'll make $8.5 million for it.
Well, she bought the land in 1993 for only $190,000. So she stands to make a nice profit. Anyways, she's selling
what
it.
What a steal. Yeah. What a steal.
Maybe that guy was getting a tour from a real estate. Maybe he was interested in buying it.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right.
It's completely hidden and secluded. There isn't even an address out in front. The owners are Suzanne Summers and Alan Hamill. And of course, because of their personal fame, they were eager for privacy. They saw it the first day it came on the market and fell in love with it halfway up the hill in the funicular. You drive up a long drive and there's a funicular to greet you. All you do is you enter the funicular and you push a button and it glides right up the hill. You can also go up the staircase, of course, but the funicular makes it easy.
Lil Uzi Vert, is he a who or
a
them?
I think he's a who. That's why we're talking about him.
Yeah, I just think there's a case to be made, but let's call him a who. Let's call him a who.
This is a who thing that he did, though. He literally spent $27 million on a diamond. He saved up, he said, over since like 2017 for literally a pink diamond. It's pink, right?
Art imitating life or life imitating art. This is Lil Uzi Vert's newest jewel implanted in his forehead.
I put diamonds all on my wrist. Hey, I put diamonds all on my wrist. Hey, I put diamonds all on my wrist.
Well, he didn't lie. He just took it a step further.
It's pink and it's long.
So
it's a long oval pink.
Huge fucking diamond. And he got it, and I'm about to throw up saying, he got it implanted into his head.
The GQ thing, which I'm going to read against my better judgment, which is the GQ description of this, because they explain.
Sorry, I'm already like. Ugh.
I know, it's going to make me throw up. I'm going to throw up on my.
We're not throwing up. Like, the aesthetics of it is kind of cool, because he actually is inspired by Pokemon, which I thought was cool. Like,
yes.
Isn't there a Pokemon with a diamond or like a headpiece, kind of, that he's inspired by?
Yes, he is. The Pokemon Sneasel has a little diamond-like thing in his
thank
forehead.
You. That's what.
Their forehead.
Right.
No, no, I could not give up.
No!
If you choose me, I'll never leave. Some of us play with fire.
Wow.
Some of us live down in the sea. Some only come out at nightfall.
Yes.
Daytime is when they get their sleep. Some need trees and leaves just to breathe. But I'm different than all.
Lil Uzi Vert is an out and proud Pokemon fan, so there are connections. I don't know that he's explicitly said I was inspired by Sneasel, but like,
well, he's used a lot of kind of like Japanese anime kind of like influences in his career, and so people kind of like were thinking about the connection between like literally putting a diamond in your head. Anyways, I'm not grossed out by like the aesthetics of it all. I'm just grossed out by the actual physical kind of surgery, the
surgery
implantation of it. I'm sorry, we're probably grossed out. You're probably like, we haven't even said kind of like how it works, but the idea of it is really gross. Sorry,
it's maybe
is.
Like an inch and a half long, this diamond. Ugh. And it's embedded into his forehead, like, yeah. It looks like skin wrapped around it. It's like
11
it's
carats.
Like intense. Also, it's newish, so it hasn't like healed fully. Like, it's probably gonna look different once the skin around it kind of gets used to what's going on there. But listen to this. So this is from GQ. Piercer Sean Dowdle told GQ that it's possible to embed gems pretty much anywhere on the body using small metal posts.
Stop.
I'm just going to
messed up.
Small metal posts with a thin, wide base that gets anchored under the skin. The
head is in my hands.
The technique, which is called a microdermal or transdermal implant, depending on the size of the anchor foot, exposes a threaded post. That jewelry can be screwed onto. It typically only works for objects to be about 8 millimeters. Uzi's pink diamond is much larger than that. This is the line that I'm going to spew all over this microphone. A bigger, heavier gem risks bending the post or causing infection.
I'm going to throw up.
In one of the better scenarios. The worst, here we go. The worst scenario?
No, I don't want to hear it.
If he got hit in the face, it would rip half his forehead off.
Okay, stop. Okay, stop, please. I'm so gross.
So that's the aesthetic. It looks cool, but when you dig into how it works, you're like, don't say dig into. So he's getting a lot of press for it. He's being very funny. I love the tweet from a few days ago where he said, I'm literally trying to turn into a diamond. He's being really funny.
He knows it's absurd, which is kind of like what is great about it. It's like, this is next level aesthetic shit right here. This is next level. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this is beyond. It's like, oh, you want a big chain with like, that's, you want $1 million chain or whatever. This is the next level. He's literally taking a $24 million diamond and putting it on his body forever. Yeah. And he made a joke like he didn't want to lose it. He's like, if you had a diamond for $24 million, you wouldn't want to lose it.
Like, but I think it's also like important to note that like he, this isn't some desperate like act of to get attention. It's not out of desperation. Like, he's doing really well as from a career perspective. Like,
yeah, in that way, it's not really.
Two albums last year.
Right. He's fine. He's totally fine. And
he's he's kind of like prestige-y. Music people love him. You know, like music writers love him.
Well, you mentioned he's working with Grimes. That's why she was responding to his tweets or whatever. Yeah. They're working together on some song or whatever. So she like loves him.
Which is so perfect. She's like, oh, doing something weird to your body? Let's get brain chips together. And he goes, I'm ready. When are we doing it? And she goes, let's aim for chips by 2022. It's experimental surgery, but if it succeeds, we'll have the knowledge of the gods. Ha-ha.
I have to say, like, anyone else saying let's get brain chips is like a joke, but Grimes saying it, considering who she's married to, is not a joke.
She's looking at the brain chips as she's typing that.
That's too close. That's too close to the idea that you actually could get brain chips, or that you know about brain chips being made that you could get. So,
but Grimes goes, let's aim for chips. But whenever she said that, Lil Uzi responded, okay, I will call you for more detail. And the thing is, like, that's not bullshit. He called her for, there's no way he didn't call her for more details.
I think they're both like half joking, but what I'm thinking, but it is real to me as a spectator that's thinking, if anyone's going to make like a brain chip or even has thought about it in detail before, it is like Grimes and Elon Musk. So I'm not surprised or whatever. But I'm sure, I think it was meant as kind of a shtick, a joke.
Last month, Musk told users of private app Clubhouse that Neuralink recently used its nanotechnology to implant a chip into a monkey's brain, which he claims allowed the animal to play video games using only its mind.
I'm sorry, did the monkey tell you that? How would you know?
Well, they watched the monkey play video games. The monkey was like, you know, playing like Assassin's Creed.
Okay, no. All right. Okay. This took a darker turn than it already was, but at least I'm not throwing up, you know?
We can end with this. So I went to his Wikipedia just to see like if this had been put on his Wikipedia yet. It got bullets under personal life. It got its own bullet. His personal life section on Wikipedia says 4, personal life. 4.1, controversies. 4.2, legal issues. 4.3, feuds. 4.4, forehead diamond.
Forehead diamond.
What's next?
I just want to read the headline and we don't need to talk about it. Okay.
Okay.
It's from The Sun. Wedding or Sweet 16? Justin Duggar, 18, and fiance Claire demand AirPods and Sephora and Chick-fil-A gift cards in bizarre wedding registry. What do you expect from people who get married young? What do you think they want? You think they want China? Do you think they want tablecloth? No, they want Chick-fil-A gift card, Sephora gift card, AirPods.
I would love an Outback Steakhouse gift card. I would love a Cheesecake Factory gift card. Did you? That was my favorite weekend meme where it was like the video of him going through that like hall of mirrors, you know, looking very concerned. But the caption was your Cheesecake Factory host guiding you to your table.
Somebody did that and captioned it, looking for a bathroom at the Grove, which is a very LA specific joke. It's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, I think this registry is perfect.
They want a 20, but it's what's funny to me is the price, the choices. So $25 to Sephora, only $25. $50 to Chick-fil-A. Okay, you can get a lot for that. $50 to the Cheesecake Factory, which, okay. Olive Garden for $25 only. That's like one person.
Happy for them. Actually, I'm not happy for them. I don't care about them. But I think that their list is fine.
Happy for them.
Who wouldn't want any of those things?
I'm still laughing at the idea. Olive Garden for $25. What are you getting at Olive Garden for $25? You're getting, like, I guess, unlimited salad and breadsticks.
You're getting
and
an entree.
Yeah, barely.
You can't even cover the tip. You can't even cover the tip for $25.
So who's going to Olive Garden by themselves? Ask for at least $50 to Olive Garden. Don't you want to go with your husband? Know. Aren't you getting married? Isn't that the point of this? Okay, let's talk about Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about the number one Who. Lindsay, Bobby, tell us now. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
Is Rita flopping?
She's in her flop era. Rita's in her flop era.
That's the thing. It's like... But Rita has been flopping this whole time. Okay, Rita has been flopping this entire time, but we kind of leave her alone and she has moderate success. But now Rita is getting the ire of the fandom and they're saying, you're flopping, you're flopping, you're flopping. But it's like this active accusation versus...
And also she's more famous than she was when we started. The more careful you have to be. She can't be this, like, devil-may-care celebrity anymore. She's too famous, you know?
Yes.
She's going to get in trouble whenever she fucks up. And now she's fucking up.
Well, it got worse. So first of all, just continuing from what we talked about last week, people are saying everyone in Australia is pissed because she got let into Australia to tape The Masked Singer. And a lot of people who live in Australia are still trying to get back into Australia to, like, go home, essentially. And there's this massive quarantine process. And the reason why they're stuck is because there's only so many people that they can have quarantining at a time. You know, like, it can't just be unlimited. They have only so many hotel rooms that they can put people in hotels for two weeks. Right.
And you can't leave the room.
The point is that Rita essentially jumped the line of whatever process this is. And people were like, that's kind of fucked up. You're taking up a bed in quarantine. And somebody is literally stranded. An actual Australian is stranded and they can't get home.
And she got, obviously, luxe treatment. Like, she not only took someone's spot, she took someone's spot in, like, the best possible
really
hotel
nice
room.
A really nice hotel. $500
a night. In which
to spend
2 weeks.
Penthouse, right. And then, on top of all of this, do we think Rita thought that she was going to distract people by releasing new music? Or does she not even care? Blah, blah, blah. She puts out the promo for an EP that is coming out this week. Friday, called Bang. She's working with David Guetta. She's working with, like, a bunch of, like, actually interesting producers. Could be good. Mm-hmm. Could be something. But the aesthetic of it, the cover of this EP, she looks just like Rina, who has fans who are, like, let's say Charlie XCX fans, or at least adjacent to that, immediately clock it as looking just like Rina. Rina is a pop star. Rina Sawayama, who is great, but kind of like under the radar in many ways, you know?
We've almost talked about her a lot. People call in and they say, who is she? And it's like, there's really nothing. We've gotten 1,000 calls about who is
she. She's
Rina
a who,
Sawayama,
but she's not really, like, hooey.
She's not hooey because she just makes good music. There's nothing, like, kind of notable to say beyond she makes great music and she's cool.
But,
like,
she really is funny because she is a good representation of a pop musician who's not really a pop star in a way. Like, this is a big thing where it's like people always associate pop music with pop stardom and think that when people make pop music, they have to be super, super, super famous, big pop star stuff. But there are people out there making pop music who aren't big pop stars. Does that make sense? They're just pop musicians. And she's great. Her music is fantastic. It's kind of like reminiscent of, like, TRL, like a lot of people call it's like 90s, TRL core or whatever, which is fantastic. She mixes kind of genres in a cool way. But anyway, she has a very specific look and Rita is ripping it off, like, fully.
And the fact that her name, I mean, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't help matters that Rita is one letter away from Rena. Oh, like, yeah, it's so, right. it's just particularly egregious. And when you look at them side by side, it's like, there's no question.
Well, not only is she ripping off, like, a specific thing, she's ripping off, like, many different types of things. Like, somebody tweeted kind of the palette of Rena that Rita is pulling from. And it's pretty mm-hmm. conclusive to me visually that this looks just like something that Rena would do. You know what I mean?
There is no way in hell that Rena's album arts, Rena's aesthetics were not involved in like the mood board as this Rita cover was being developed by the designer. Like, there's just no way.
It's just funny because it's almost like Rita, quote unquote, can't catch a break, but I almost feel like she keeps throwing herself into traffic. Like, I'm not even saying like she can't catch a break, like leave her alone. It's like, Rita, like, why are you doing everything she does is like controversial because she just keeps on making choices that are like insane. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And TBD on whether or not this does anything to her. Like, I still feel like she's not famous enough for it to matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Rita does kind of need groundswell for like kind of to be critically loved, and this is not going to help is what I'm saying. Otherwise, she's just kind of known as this like UK pop singer. You know what I mean? She's more famous mm-hmm. there than she is here.
And it must be said.
Must be said.
What yes. Yes, she's copying Rena, but like it's truly the budget low rent version of Rena. Also, like, thank God when you compare them, Rena's is like 7,000 times better than what Rita did. This knockoff, it truly is a knockoff. Right. It is a knockoff.
But I would be lying if I said I wasn't looking forward to hearing whatever this was, because mm-hmm. you know, new Rita music. She filmed this at Cotswold or whatever. Filmed it, recorded
Cotswold.
It, wrote it at Cotswold.
She recorded it back when she was abiding by quarantine guidelines. You know, true.
Remember that? Yeah. So that was a weird turn of events for Rita. Right off her Australian controversy, she announces music and gets dragged by Rena fans. Just mm-hmm. one thing after another, you know?
The other headlines that she got were like, she scrubs her Instagram, and people were, you know, the gut reaction is in response to this controversy. But no, that's what artists do now. They scrub their Instagram.
Yeah, she's releasing new music.
Before they release their new era,
right,
you know?
She's like doing a new aesthetic thing for her release. I don't
think they all do this.
Rita Ora finally deletes post about doing nothing on her birthday. So that's funny because people were like, get rid of this post. Stop talking about this. You clearly did something on your birthday, you liar. She finally got rid of it as part of an aesthetic cleanse.
And we finally got rid of this episode. Oh, we are done. Thank you for listening to another episode of the podcast. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns for our Friday episode. We may play them on a future episode, if not this one.
Thank you to Katie and Eric of The Who's for the Rita theme song.
And, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love that. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly. Heard of it. We get twice weekly bonus episodes, an occasional newsletter. And that's it. See you on Friday. Bye.
You or Jayla? Yeah, yeah, Neo. Yeah, they want to know. Hey. Neo.
Hey. Yeah, yeah, Neo.
Today's episode of Who Weekly was brought to you by The CW. The 2-hour premiere event of Superman and Lois airs Tuesday, February 23rd, or you can stream free next day on The CW app.